Hey, I'm Sheena, former miserable corporate attorney turned full-time calligrapher and creative entrepreneur. I used to feel like I was living my life for other people, and now I am more true to myself than ever. And each week, I'm sharing a short but powerful lesson that I've learned on that journey. So if you're looking for a way to get more creativity and possibility into your life, you're so in the right place. Let's dive right in.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Sheena Show. It feels like it's been forever since I recorded an episode for you because I recorded so many in advance and, you know, prepared them in advance to support my launch that just wrapped up. And this episode is going to be a reflection on that launch. So if you like the real inside look at business, the ups and downs, the real resilience that comes out of it, the stuff that makes or breaks the decision of whether to stay in it and keep going or quit, like what makes it too much or what makes it exactly enough. This is that kind of episode. You know, it's like January 30th. Woo, I can't believe it's the end of the month already. And, you know, just in case you haven't been following what my business has been doing, Crooked Calligraphy, we just did our, you know, what's supposed to be like one of the biggest launches of the whole year. Beginning of the year, people are, you know, excited about getting into something new and creative, starting something finally. And we did this big 5-day challenge called the Newbie to Pro Calligrapher Challenge, where it's 5 days of free lessons and me going live and giving, you know, live feedback on people's projects, and it all culminating in opening enrollment to our signature calligraphy programs. And I went into this launch with so much hope. If you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you know that 2023 was a beast, an emotional, just a hard time. That's all I can say about it. Just going through so, so much and really grappling with coming back into a business that I thought I was done with, and trying to do it differently, and being in transition the entire time, and being in a weird headspace. And I really felt like at the end of 2023, I'm like, okay, I'm coming out of this. I'm going to do this launch at the beginning of 2024. It's going to kick ass. I attacked it with just so much gusto. We got amazing student stories. I mean, people like whose entire lives have changed with calligraphy. You heard the stories on this podcast, right? People quitting their miserable jobs and going after calligraphy full time and gaining confidence and paying for their dream vacations and like such good stories. I decided to add in for the very first time a money back guarantee. I've always wanted to, you know, up until now, keep my business pretty simple. We're a small team and kind of just didn't want to deal with the logistics of having a money back guarantee, but decided, okay, I'm going to go for it. I believe in our program so hard that if you don't get results, we will refund you if you've done the work and you haven't gotten the results. So added that in, really went into the challenge with just like, okay, I'm going to show people what's possible. People are going to see it in my body language and my voice, and it's going to convince people. So, as you can imagine, I set goals. I had a lot of hope. I was feeling really good. And the numbers started rolling in. And at the end of the day, we just didn't meet the enrollment goals that I had set out for myself. And because y'all know that I like to be perfectly transparent about these things, I like to set good, better, best goals. You know, so it's a range rather than just one hard line of I made it or I didn't. But my good goal was 50 enrollments. better 60 and best 70. And I really was feeling good about like, okay, 70, I think we can do it. Another thing that I forgot to mention is I've been talking about it for months, but finally did my own Facebook ads and figured that all out. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it was. And I was actually getting pretty good signups for the challenge at a pretty low rate. So all of that, you know, to come to the end of it and realize I wanted 50 for my good goal and I got 36 enrollments. And 36 is nothing to sneeze at the end of it all, because, you know, we sell our Pro Calligrapher bundle for $997, but we also sell just the beginner course for $497. There were some additional kind of like add-ons that alumni could, you know, opt into. So at the end of the day, it's a close to $35,000 in overall revenue, overall sales. So that is not nothing. And at the same time, you know, I was hoping for closer to 60,000, 70,000 in revenue, which would have just kind of set up the business, you know, for way less pressure in the upcoming months, you know, just knowing that we had brought in a good chunk of money. So, y'all, I felt pretty damn terrible. I felt like you know, calculated up our final numbers, got up on Saturday morning after the cart closed on Friday, realized, you know, we hadn't hit our goals. And it just felt like the world was collapsing in on me. I mean, that sounds dramatic, but, you know, feelings are feelings. It just heaviness, sadness, disappointment, shame, wondering what I did wrong, all of it. And I really think that for anybody who is thinking about, okay, maybe I want to start a side hustle or maybe I want to grow my business, this amalgam of feelings is what we actually fear the most. It's this terrible feeling of failure that we think is just going to crush us. It's not so much the consequences. The consequences can be, you know, terrible, especially if there are financial consequences. But I really think that it's the negative feelings that we're so afraid to feel. And I gotta say, those feelings are bad. They're bad. They're bad. They're bad while they're there. And here's what happened. I spent like 2 days feeling pretty shitty. Pretty shitty. And then I kind of came out of it. And some interesting things happened. So I want to go through, like, what was it that helped me kind of shift out of it? I'm going to share some actual, like, okay, more kind of down-to-earth, strategic, perspective-shifting things that I did that really helped me to kind of turn this around in my head and not beat myself up so much. And then I'm going to share something that's a little less grounded, but very, very real and very consequential. So the strategic things that I did to help me gain perspective were things like talking to entrepreneur friends. So shout out to Diana and Joyce of hosts of the Modern Creative Podcast. And we've just been friends for years, and they both run online businesses, and they just get it. They totally understand what I mean when I say, like, oh, my launch didn't go the way I wanted it to go. And they just, you know, made room and listened and talked me through and encouraged me and reminded me how badass I am and how much there is in front of me despite this setback. So that, oh my gosh, talking to friends, getting perspective, so, so important. A second thing is focusing, taking my focus off of, you know, what went wrong and putting my focus onto the students that did choose to enroll this time and just deciding to give them like the best experience ever. So just, you know, greeting them, welcoming them into our Facebook community with enthusiasm and kind of responding to comments and really just reading through all of their intro comments and just, you know, reminding myself there are 36 human beings who took a real leap of faith and decided to trust me with their calligraphy journey. And I do not take that lightly. And that totally also helped to kind of bring me out of my funk. And then a third kind of perspective shift is just thinking about the long game. This launch in itself, there's a lot of ways that I could look at it and see failure, right? I put a lot of money. I put maybe, I mean, several thousand dollars into Facebook ads, you know, some of which were kind of, it didn't go well because I was learning for the first time. So, you know, I sunk all this money into Facebook ads. I created all this content and I put so much energy into it and oh my gosh, I didn't get the results that I wanted. So I could look at it that way, or I could kind of zoom out from that very narrow perspective, just really down in the muck, and take a little bit of a higher ground and look and see, okay, let's look at the long game here. I, you know, did some Facebook ads. I learned how to do it. It got me some pretty good cost leads, as in I was able to reach people who are interested in calligraphy, who signed up to join my email list, who now I can talk to over email, who I might not have ever, you know, found if it weren't for Facebook ads. Great. And now I know how to do some Facebook ads. So that's cool. I showed up. Like, I'm so proud that I showed up with my best. Like, I really put it all out there. I really, you know, I rewrote some emails. I got those student stories. I created so many little videos. I was on Instagram constantly. Like, I created some really great content that a lot of people saw. And even if they didn't buy right now, they are closer to buying later. And that is a part of the long game too. I sell a product that costs $997. That's almost $1,000. That is, you know, a big decision. And at that price point, a lot of people, it takes them a little while longer to decide that they trust me and that I can get them the results they want and that they want to invest their money with me. So all the content that I built, not only can I reuse it in future launches and, you know, build it into maybe my ongoing funnels and all of that, but it, you know, the people who are watching, I bet they're intrigued if they didn't know me before and, you know, what my programs are and what they can do. And it, you know, might lead to more sales later down the line, right? That's the long game. So those are the three things that I kind of did, you know, at a surface level. And of course, you know, it's like talking to my husband, getting a lot of hugs, trying to kind of go out and do things instead of wallowing in my bed, you know, stuff like that helped as well. But here is, now I'm getting to the kind of deeper existential kind of perspective shift that really, really kind of flipped things around for me. And this is something that I come back to constantly, and I've talked about on the podcast a lot. It is remembering that life is fucking short and that I want to be here for all of it. So whenever I'm feeling really just down and like, oh, why do I even bother with this? And nothing's going my way and nothing is going to work again. And I'm feeling really hopeless about just everything. I listen to episode 215 of the We Can Do Hard Things podcast with Glennon Doyle. It's like my favorite podcast. I listen religiously. But that particular episode, episode 215, I have listened to probably 10 or more times. And it's because it's with the guest is Andrea Gibson, who is this poet and deep thinker, but the conversation with her is so meaningful to me with them. Andrea Gibson is a they, them pronouns. The conversation with them is so meaningful because they had just, I think a few days before that podcast recording, been told that their cancer was terminal and incurable. So it's literally this poet staring in the face of death and talking about it and having a conversation. I'm getting emotional just thinking about this because, and the conversation just hits me in all the feels because it's them saying that this cancer diagnosis suddenly just woke them up to all of the beauty of life. That you know, after this cancer diagnosis, they kind of just went around in this state of ecstasy, just realizing, oh my God, look at everything around me. And I listen to it, and every single time, I feel the most exquisite gratitude to be alive and to be here and to be doing exactly what I'm doing. This, sharing this with you. It's not conventional. It's not like, hey, business consulting. It's really like, this is how I'm feeling. This is what I'm going through. And I think it's the most important thing I could possibly share with you. It turns, having this, you know, shift in perspective, like I went from feeling just the lowest, muckiest muck about me and the world and my place in the world and how things were going to be into the future. And it just kind of turned into this amazing appreciation that I get to be alive and experience all of these feelings. And I really think, like, this is the treasure that has come out of me leaving corporate law, going for it, facing all the rejection and failure, and now really facing like the ups and downs of business. I think I got really lucky. I think I'm incredibly skilled and I am open to learning and I, you know, I'm willing to risk things, sure. But I also got really lucky in that my calligraphy business really like exploded in popularity during the pandemic. And, you know, people were looking for things to do and ad costs were low. And I rode that wave really, really high. And now things are looking a little bit different. The economic climate is different. People's interests maybe are a little bit different. I am different. Where I am is different, right? So this is all part of it. It's part of business and it's part of life. There are ups and there are downs. And I really, really, really believe it to be true when I hear people say that the more you cut yourself off from the lows, the more you cut yourself off from the high. You cannot cut out the feelings of despair and failure and shame and sorrow in your life. You cannot like numb yourself to those feelings without also numbing yourself to the exquisite joy and appreciation of life. It's like fucking unfair, but you have to embrace it all, right? You've heard people say that. And now I know it to be true. I feel like over the past year and change of real confusion and feeling lost and feeling like, wow, maybe I'm not cut out for this and I can't do it and things aren't going my way. That has opened me up to feeling everything. And like, at the end of the day, you know, we're all going to die. That's what I keep coming back to, right? That's why this is like heavy and existential, but also like it's everything, right? It's this fact that we all know and that we ignore almost every minute of our existence is the fact that we're not here forever. The fact that the beauty of life is in the fact that it doesn't go on forever. The beauty is in its brevity. And if you can embrace that, if you can make friends with that fact, I really believe, I don't know if it's because now I'm, you know, in my 40s and, you know, getting into midlife and have had some experiences of death, of people I know suddenly up and dying, or my best friend, healthy as a bull. I don't know what the saying is. So healthy, and then suddenly passing away from cancer within months. Like, I've had enough of these experiences to that I can't look away from it anymore. And it oddly enough, it sounds like it should be depressing, and it's what makes me feel like I have to keep going. Failure or no, disappointment or no, that's what's gonna keep me going. And just getting the most out of this life, whatever happens. I'm like so looking forward to it. There's gonna be such shitty parts. I know it. And there's gonna be such amazing parts. And I wanna be awake to all of it. I wanna be able to feel all of it. And the more that I'm willing to feel it all, actually, the less scary it is. Those really, really low feelings after, you know, this launch, seriously, like a day and a half, 2 days where I was just kind of really down there in the dumps, feeling, you know, like I could actually sink into a real blackness about it. But I didn't. It turned around. Those feelings, they processed. I processed them. They moved through. It led me into, again, those feelings of deep appreciation. And now here I am. And I didn't die. They were just feelings. And I really believe it's true that the more I experience of this, the stronger I get, the more resilient, the more willing I am to go after the things that I really want. And to even admit to myself in the first place that I really want it. So that is my lesson for today. That is what I take out of this failure. I hope, you know, whether you really feel this episode or whether you just kind of are absorbing it on a surface level, I hope it kind of sinks in somehow, so that the next time you're staring at maybe potential failure or maybe you or real failure, that this comes back to you and you can remember like, oh, this is just being alive. I want to be alive for all of it. I can do it. And the less scared I am of the negative feelings, the more I can just be in them and let them pass and then learn from them and come out the other side. Like, just the less I have to fear, the more powerful I become. So yeah. Episode 215 of the We Can Do Hard Things podcast. That and getting yourself some entrepreneurial friends who can have your back. They will save you. And just want to leave you with, you can do this. This thing that's so scary, once you go through it, it turns out to not be death. It turns out to be life. Okay, go out there and live your life. I will see you all next week. Love you. Bye.
Oh, you're still here. That's awesome. That means that you like the show, right? Thank you for listening to the end. And I want to ask you a really quick favor. Could you take 2 seconds right now, literally right now, to just leave a rating on this podcast? And if you're feeling extra generous, write a 1-sentence review. It really helps more people like you to find this show. You are awesome. I'll see you next time.